May it please the Court, Your Honor. My name is Julie Mersch. I represent the appellant, Mia Dukovic. The District Court committed both factual and legal error when it failed to follow the plan definition of disability. The plan definition of disability required Dukovic to prove by preponderance of the evidence that she was disabled due to sickness. In construing the remand order from this Court to say that the Court did not have to consider any alleged mental condition, the Court prevented Dukovic from providing evidence in support of her burden of proof. All the doctors in this case agree on both sides of the fence that she suffered from fibromyalgia syndrome. Fibromyalgia syndrome, as this Court and other circuit courts across the country recognize, is largely a subjective, largely is proven by subjective symptoms that are not provable by objective medical evidence. The District Court made absolutely no factual findings regarding the impact of these subjective symptoms on Ms. Dukovic's ability to work as a card dealer. Specifically, there was no discussion in the record of her widespread pain, no discussion in the record of her depression, no discussion in the record of her acute distress and anxiety, no discussion in the record of her crying that was observed repeatedly by her doctors in the office, no discussion of her brain fog, no discussion of her fatigue or insomnia, no discussion of the side effects from her treatment with medications for pain, including suicidal ideation. There was no discussion of her headaches, and there was no discussion of how her subjective symptoms would allow her to attend and concentrate and do what a car dealer has to do. There was also absolutely no discussion or reference to the eloquent appeal letter that Ms. Dukovic submitted, setting forth both the physical and the subjective cognitive emotional symptoms that she suffered from, and also how those symptoms affected her ability to work as a card dealer day in and day out. The employer statement says that her job required her to work 5 days a week over 40 hours, yet the Court does not in any way address that that letter in its order.
Can I just focus you on, I guess, what I find a difficult obstacle for you to get over in order for you to prevail?
Yes, Your Honor.
So tell me if I've got something in terms of my understanding of the record wrong. You're right that there's no dispute that your client suffers from fibromyalgia, and there's no question, I don't think, that she also has pretty serious psychological or psychiatric issues as well. And the question is whether those are caused by the fibromyalgia or whether instead they are themselves kind of a separate condition, right, that wouldn't be covered under the provision of the policy you're seeking benefits under.
Just
so I could finish the thought, and it seemed like there were at least, if I remember, two of your client's specialists who themselves endorsed the notion that, boy, to the extent that she's suffering all of these psychological issues, I think that's actually separate. It's kind of its own separate thing, and it's not, in fact, caused by the fibromyalgia. And what she needs to do is get psychiatric care. And if that understanding of your client's condition were accepted, it seems like you would lose. That's where I'm sort of stuck.
I disagree in that. I don't believe that this particular policy requires that she prove a particular psychological condition or physical condition. She only has to show that she's sick as a result of a disorder of the mind or body.
No. Tell me if that is definitely not how I've understood this. I've understood there to be, you need to show that her disability arises from a physical condition, most definitely not a mental condition, because that's a separate 2-year capped, there's a cap on the benefits there, and she hasn't even sought the medical care she would need to qualify for benefits under that. So that's why I say, if in fact you sort of shunt all of the disabling conditions she suffers from into the mental condition box, she's going to be out of luck. And I think that's basically what the District Court ended up concluding.
Fibromyalgia syndrome is a physical condition. with cognitive symptoms.
Right, but the problem being that you then need to show that those psychological conditions are stemming from the fibromyalgia, whereas the specialists say, no, actually I think they're stemming from this separate psychiatric condition that she needs treatment from a psychiatrist for.
And she never did go for the treatment from a psychiatrist, notwithstanding the recommendation that she should.
She did not, Your Honor, but that was not a reason that they denied the claim. Back to your point, let's be clear. The medical records that Dr. Ginron referred to stated that at this point in time, we believe her illness is psychiatric in nature. But in March of 2010, the neurologist, Dr. Baker, said, I believe her primary disability is fibromyalgia syndrome. Dr. Ginron tried to get the treating doctors he never spoke to Dr. Baker. He just looked at his medical records and concluded that now her impairment is psychiatric in nature. There's no evidence in the record that he said she now is not still suffering from fibromyalgia syndrome. He's saying she is impaired. There's no disagreement that they believe that she was impaired at the end of this evolution of symptoms from psychiatric or cognitive emotional problems. That is correct. But none of the doctors ever said that I see in the record that it did not stem originally from her fibromyalgia syndrome.
Who's the one who has the, it's like, I can't remember, is it like in a parenthetical? It's sort of, I wish I could remember the specific names of the doctors. They're all
mixed up. Dr. Tsai was her primary doctor.
It's one of the specialists who I thought said, basically at this point, I'm led to believe that this is really stemming from kind of a separate psychiatric condition, not so much from fibromyalgia or something to that, or secondary to something like that.
I believe there's a reasonable interpretation in the records that maybe it looks like she has a psychiatric disease process, but she was only always diagnosed with fibromyalgia syndrome. That's why she was sent to Dr. Baker, the neurologist. That's why she was sent to Dr. Genu, the rheumatologist.
So several of the doctors in the record said that the mental problems were the result of the worsening pain from fibromyalgia. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. They did.
And then there was another doctor who seemed to say that this is independent of the fibromyalgia. Was there is it clear that they were in disagreement, or I'm not?
I don't think that Anthem and CDS ever asked them for any information whether there was a psychiatric disease that was separate and apart from fibromyalgia. Ms. Dukovic is simply trying to prove that she does suffer from a sickness. Her symptoms of impairment have evolved from fibromyalgia syndrome to cause these psychiatric and, to Judge Corman's point, untreated psychiatric symptoms. But her treating physician and Dr. Genu, who treated her for fibromyalgia, they may have anecdotally said she's got a psychiatric disease process, but I submit that there's no evidence in the record that she had any DSM order that was not related to the fibromyalgia. And in that regard, that's why I thought it was important for the district court to listen to what Ms. Dukovic said herself in her own letter and at least give it some merit. There was no evidence in the record whatsoever that these symptoms didn't exist and that she wasn't credible. So if the medical information did not decide the day, why not look at least listen to her and say how these symptoms did evolve?
We have some case law recognizing that fibromyalgia can lead to mental depression and
Yes, Your Honor, and I cited the cases there's the Jordan versus Grumman case, which is a Ninth Circuit case. There's also cases citing Jordan in California cases that I cited, the Abdullah case. There's also the Beatty versus Prudential case, which I cited in my brief, which is actually a Ninth Circuit case that reversed under the clear error standard. In this case, there's both, in my opinion, legal error and there's clear error under the factual findings as well, because the district court specifically set apart or truncated evidence that prevented Ms. Dukovich from providing subjective proof in support of her disability claim. And that is, Your Honor, where I'm saying she had to show that she was sick. That is what the definition, plan definition of disability said. You know, she's disabled as a result of sickness, not as a result of something more specific like a physical illness. I mean, the district court properly said it was a physical illness, but then failed to incorporate what was all, do a thorough inspection of the administrative record to say, okay, these psychological issues, these cognitive, these emotional issues that she's having should be considered by me. I may reject them or not, but they need to be considered because they're part of the administrative record and that they are part of a sickness that she is claiming under this policy. The court did not do that. So I do think that under the clear error standard for factual findings, I believe that the court, by not making any factual findings regarding the subjective symptoms of fibromyalgia, erred, but also I believe by legally erred, which is subject to a de novo review, by truncating the evidence and saying I'm not going to consider things related to an alleged mental condition. So I believe under the if you don't reach on the clear error standard of the factual findings, I think the court clearly erred by not considering that evidence. How can she prove her case if most of these symptoms that she's suffering from are not even considered by the lower court? So and the other thing is that I believe that the in this case, because her credibility wasn't challenged, her appeal letter setting forth all her subjective complaints and how they affected her ability to work as a car dealer were not considered. This was a case in which, and there was no IME done or functional capacity evaluation done in this case. So I think in this case, you really had to consider what she had to say and what the science says are the symptoms associated with fibromyalgia syndrome. And that simply wasn't done here. If the court had done that, then I may not have a legal argument under de novo review, but I do have that here because it was not considered. It just simply wasn't considered. District court's final comments are, well, she has some physical disability. I do think that there is some physical difficulty, but I don't think that gives rise. Well, that's not the standard under the policy. The standard is due to sickness, was Ms. Dukovich unable to perform the essential functions of her regular occupation? And there's no analysis of that in the record, whether she was or was not. I would like to reserve my time at this point.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Very good. We'll hear from your opponent.
Good morning. Anna Martin on behalf of Anthem. May it please the court, it's a pleasure to be here today. I'd like to address, first of all, the district court painstakingly reviewed the administrative record in this case, which include all the medical evidence, twice. The plaintiff in this case did not satisfy her burden that she is disabled under the policy. Plaintiff wants it both ways. She wants to use mental illness as both error and evidence. And in this instance, the court did exactly what this court ordered it to do. And basically, plaintiff did not claim to be disabled based on a mental condition. And so when you look at the administrative record and you compare it to the district court's order, you can tell precisely what the district court did. The district court basically removed all of the opinions that said all of her symptoms were due to a psychiatric illness, and then looked at the record without that conclusion. And the district court absolutely considered mental illness when discussing the opinion. If you look at the district court first cited to Dr. Gendron's letter to Dr. Say, in which Dr. Gendron stated that he believed that her ailment was mostly psychiatric, that her illness was due to a psychiatric condition. The court said, I'm not going to consider that because, again, it goes to that conclusion that her condition is due to psychiatric condition. But then the court goes on to discuss references to other mental conditions, and the court in the order references Dr. Howard, who said that plaintiff complains of depression, but he was not sure what was the cause of the depression. And then, most notably, the district court goes to Dr. Gianu, who was her treating rheumatologist, who I believe, Justice Watford, is who you were referring to. He's the one who directly, in response to a letter from Dr. Gendron, wrote a letter back, and he specifically stated that plaintiff, that she was most likely impaired by severe depression with musculoskeletal manifestations instead of her fibromyalgia. And the reason why the district court cited that decision is because it addresses the issue here, is whether or not her condition, her disability, was caused either by the fibromyalgia or the psychiatric symptoms. And Dr. Gianu answered that exactly. Answered that exact question, and that was her treating rheumatologist. In this case, we most certainly have a consensus of medical. We have two of her treating, the orthopedic surgeon and the neurologist, and the neurologist would be the doctor to treat her for these, for any mental fogness, for cognitive issues. There's no mini mental status exam. She was not referred for cognitive testing. None of those things. And so we have Dr. Baker, who's the neurologist. He says, I think all of her problems are psychiatric. She needs to see a a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And there was a level of exasperation in his medical records because he couldn't understand why she still had not seen a mental health provider. Then we've got Dr. Baker, who's an orthopedic surgeon, who also is just noting that all the diagnostic testing is normal, and the physical exams are essentially normal. And he also says, I have nothing further to offer her. She needs to see a psychiatrist.
Can I ask you, though, the reason this just seems somewhat artificial, this dichotomy we're drawing, is because we know that fibromyalgia is a physical condition that there are no tests you can run to say, aha, we've discovered that you now have this, right? Most of it is manifested in terms of your psychological symptoms, right? So I guess it just seems artificial to say, for any of these doctors to say, well, I've determined that it's due to some separate, you know, mental illness, because, I mean, how would you, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't question their expertise, but how can you ever really be sure that it's on this side of the line and not the other? Do you know
what I mean? I'm not sure that you can decide what side of the line it's on, but just because you have, let's say you have fibromyalgia and it is creating psychological, you know, manifestation symptoms, you still, especially under this policy, you're obligated to get treatment for those. You can't just say, I'm disabled due to depression, but it's because of fibromyalgia and I don't need to seek treatment. This policy, you have to be under appropriate care. And when you have three of her own treating doctors telling her she needs to see a psychiatrist and you don't do it, then you aren't getting the care that you're required to get.
The basis on which the district court
absolutely not. Absolutely not. What I believe what the district court did is I think the district court did what this court directed, and that was to set aside basically any conclusion where some doctor said, look, her impairment is caused by a psychiatric condition. The district court put that aside and then looked at the record as a whole and determined whether or not plaintiff met her burden of proof in establishing disability, which she did not meet. If you look at all of that, if you take out that psychiatric component that's the cause of her impairment, she didn't meet it. She's got no RNLs from Dr. Gianu, from Dr. Baker, from Dr. Milligan. The only one who gave them was Dr. Say, and the district court was well within its authority to look at that MSS statement and go, okay, look, there, Dr. Say didn't offer RNLs on two separate occasions prior. Then he offers these RNLs. He dates them back to 2008. She worked till September 2009. And then he later defers those RNLs.
Well, I don't understand, because we, in our prior decision, seem to say that that those statements concerning her not getting treatment were not a new reason for denying benefits, that she had never claimed that it was disability on account of a mental condition, and so that on remand they weren't to consider that. So how do we now conclude that this was mental and that she should be faulted for not getting treatment?
I'm not even saying that you have to conclude that. I'm just saying that what I believe the district court did in implementing what this court ordered in a split decision. Remember, Justice O'Scallion believed that.
And he lost.
Yeah, he lost, but he strongly, you know, he believed also that she had not satisfied her burden under the standard, and she didn't do so here. The district court followed the mandate of this court and removed that issue and then looked at everything in the file to see if you take out the opinion that she's psychiatrically disabled, did she satisfy that she's disabled? And the district court went through, and the district court did consider, you know, mental illness symptoms. He did consider those. And what's interesting is that he does, the one reference that he does talk about the psychiatric symptoms is he focuses on Dr. Giannou's opinion, who said, look, her psychiatric symptoms are not caused, I mean, her musculoskeletal symptoms are not caused by fibromyalgia, they're caused by a psychiatric illness. That's her own treating rheumatologist. So,
well, I don't have all of that before me. But what the district court said was Dr. Giannou, is that him, found that plaintiff's ability to work in her position was more likely, quote, impaired because of her severe, quote, severe depression with musculoskeletal manifestations. And then the district court adds, with no quotes, instead of her fibromyalgia. And that sounds like that's what the district court was imputing to what the doctor said, rather than the doctor saying that she has a severe problem that has musculoskeletal manifestations, and it could very well be a result of the fibromyalgia.
Well, Dr. Giannou did, his letter went on to basically mirror what the district court stated. And he said that her musculoskeletal symptoms were caused by severe depression, not fibromyalgia.
Let me just read this and tell me if this is the language we're talking about. And I'm just going to read it without trying to correct the grammar or anything. Yeah. I would incline to believe at this point that her physical complaints are related to her severe depression, and then this is the parenthetical I was trying to remember, less likely due to fibromyalgia. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. And that was his letter in response to a letter from Dr. Gendron. And then he also raises, the burden. She's got the burden of proof to establish that she's disabled. The burden is on her. We've got a doctor saying, look, it's less likely due to her fibromyalgia and more likely due to some psychiatric illness for which she hasn't sought treatment. And then we have neurologists, rheumatologists, and orthopedic surgeons commenting on someone's psychiatric state when they're not the proper doctor to be doing that because she never went and got the treatment.
Does the record indicate why?
No. Okay. It's just they were just multiple requests and no falling through. And if we really want to get into treatment here, which is also a sign that her symptoms were not as severe as she claims, is that she didn't seek treatment. She didn't go to physical therapy. She didn't do aqua therapy. She didn't go to the Balance Institute. She quit taking medications.
This record, I'll just be honest with you, this record does not scream to me, this person is faking all of this and she really can work. That's what I think, I won't speak for my colleagues, but that's what I find frustrating about this case. I don't doubt that she is experiencing all of the conditions she's claiming to, and it just becomes, well, what box do you put it in? Does it stem mostly from fibromyalgia, or does it stem mostly from this separate, I don't know how it could be a separate, but some separate mental illness or condition? And that's what I'm saying. That just seems really artificial, given how closely linked the two things that we're talking about are.
I mean, possibly, except that this is a case in which she has to prove her disability. And we've got all these subjective symptoms, but we do not have treating doctor support for this disability. This isn't a case where we just had paper file reviews that disagreed with treating physicians. We don't have that. We have her doctors who are exasperated. We've got an orthopedic surgeon and a neurologist who, they can't figure out what's wrong with her, and they keep thinking it's more psychiatric. And then you have her rheumatologist come in and say, look, I think it's less likely fibromyalgia. I mean, I'm not sure what more an insurance company can do in this instance. I mean, we don't have the support. There aren't the R&L support for a claimed disability here, and the burden was on her. And it's twice that the district court has been through this record and came down the same way. And I really believe that an overall review of this record, to me, I think more definitely demonstrates that she didn't satisfy her burden, that she's disabled under this policy.
Can I ask you a question about a clause in the policy that what effect it has. It says that Anthem reserves full discretion and authority, and then I'm going to skip a few, to interpret all policy terms and conditions. How does that affect our review?
It has no effect on your review, Your Honor, because this is the court ruled on that. The district court ruled on that. Anthem did not have discretion, so your review is de novo, and the court's review was de novo. I mean, your review isn't de novo. The court's district court's review was de novo. So, yeah, it has no bearing on this case. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions
from the colleagues? No? All right. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much. Thank
we,
you.
We will give you – you have about 2.5 minutes for rebuttal.
So Dr. Howard was the first consultant that Anthem used. He was a rheumatologist. He diagnosed he's the first one that said, yes, she's got fibromyalgia syndrome. And he noted medication, that she had side effects from the medication. And those medications are treated specifically for fibromyalgia syndrome. Over the course of her treatment, that's before the record, she was on Neurontin, she was on Effexor, she was on Cymbalta, she was on Savella, and there were other medications that she were on. But those were all were fibromyalgia medications to help treat depression. So that may address your question in terms of the box.
But what about this letter from Dr. Janow to Dr. Gendron? I don't know how to say the names.
Okay. So the question is whether she was sick. I've maintained the position that by the time Dr. Janow wrote that letter in response to Dr. Gendron's posit, is she more impaired by physical or by psychological, psychiatric? It was in September of 2010. She had submitted her claim in January of 2010, and if you look at the record, she was getting much worse from a psychological standpoint. So I believe at the end of the day she was impaired from working, and I believe that's what all everyone agreed, that she had an impairment and that it prevented her from working.
Yes, yeah, but it's the source. What's the source of that impairment? And that parenthetical, less likely due to fibromyalgia, that's from your client's own doctor. So how do you respond to your opponent's argument that, like, well, we're the insurance company, we get that. What are we supposed to do?
Under the definition of disability, does it matter what the source is of an impairment?
I think that's the whole issue here, isn't it?
I do, and I argue that it's she's sick, and that it he was responding to a letter as to what is the etiology of the impairment. And at that point, that was one person's opinion but that was all that was in the record from that. I mean, he wasn't asked, did she have restrictions, limitations from fibromyalgia? My opposing counsel said she didn't offer any restrictions and limitations in support of her burden of proof, but she never was asked to do that. That the definition in the policy says what you need to do. Proof. If you look at the proof of loss provision, it says you need to fill out these forms, and then you need to provide us anything that we ask you to provide. If you recall in the record, her roommate calls in and says, how does she prove this? What does she do? And the response in the record is, you just look at the medical records. It's what's in the medical records. So she did the best she could getting Dr. Tsai to submit a medical source statement and to submit her own letter based on what was all that she could determine. But she was never said, you need to get Dr. Baker to send in restrictions and limitations. You need to get Dr. Ye to send in restrictions and limitations. The letters that they responded to that were sent to Dr. Baker was, we know she's got an impairment, but is it more psychiatric or is it more physical in nature? And Dr. Gendron took from the medical record from Dr. Baker at this point in time in July 2010, it's psychiatric. And he took from what Dr. Janu said, that at this point in time, it is more likely related to depression. I mean, Your Honor, honestly, I don't know if we talked to Dr. Janu, if he would say, but I would treat her for fibromyalgia syndrome, and I believe that it's related to that. But I believe the definition is broad enough in the policy that her impairment is that the district court had to consider everything as to determine whether she was sick and whether that sickness caused her to be unable to perform the essential duties of a car dealer. That was never examined in this record, and I believe that it constitutes clear error. I see that my time's up. I'm sorry. It should be reversed.
Do you define impairment as being unable It may have impaired her, but was she unable to perform the duties of a car dealer?
Well, I took the word impairment from, because that was used by Dr. Gendron in his letters. I believe that in conjunction with what Dr. Genoux wrote and with the medical source statement by Dr. Tsai, but also by Ms. Dukovich's consistent reporting of pain, her appeal letter, she's going to all these doctors. I don't think this is a person that's not sick, that can work. I believe she's sincere, so I believe that, to answer your question, I believe that she herself, in conjunction with those two doctors, met her burden that she was unable to perform the duties of a car dealer, which were very difficult, in addition, I mean, more so cognitively than almost physically, because of all the money she had to count. I mean, we all probably know what dealers do. And so I do believe the district court failed to make that determination, and that prejudiced her as to whether her impairments or her inability to work, all her subjective symptoms that she credibly testified or credibly submitted to the administrator prevented her from performing her essential functions. That was not considered by the court, and that was clear error. And this should be reversed, and benefits should be stated through the first 12 months and remanded for ongoing adjustment.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you for giving me the extra time. Sorry I went on.
Of course. This is a very difficult case, and we appreciate your arguments today.
Thank you.
The case just argued is submitted, and we are now adjourned for the week.